Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome to Lutheran Radio UK, your healthy digital radio addiction, where we have for you now another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. This week we're looking at Luke chapter 4 verses 16 to 30 and how scripture can be fulfilled even in your hearing. So from the English Standard Version our text reads, "And Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.' And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And he said to them, 'Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, Physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.' And he said, 'Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian.' When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away." What if Jesus came to our town this morning? What if he came to our church? What if he stood here in this pulpit and preached a sermon? Wouldn't that be marvelous? A wonderful opportunity to hear a message straight from God in heaven. Well, this is precisely what Jesus did when, on the Lord's Day, he entered his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. And thankfully, there were many who came to hear him. He was famous, after all. He really drew in the crowds, and some of them probably wanted to hear him to make sure he wasn't dragging the name of their town through the mud, though the phrase was already going around, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Yes, it would be quite the honor, wouldn't it, to have Jesus here. Of course, there is also within that wish a bit of tongue-in-cheek, as it is our belief that he is always here. He's here every week. But as obvious as that sounds, I'm going to say that that was a practice of Jesus when he was walking the earth as well. People may think Jesus was too busy to go to synagogue every week, that he was constantly on the move, traveling from village to village, especially when he had gathered his disciples. But I tell you, as surely as he means to be here every week, he would have made a point of attending the synagogue every week, wherever he was. He traveled to the Jewish villages to teach and preach, and of course the temple itself. This was his life, and always has been. No matter how busy he was, and wherever he was led in his ministry, to use the idiom, he went to church. He rested on the Sabbath. If you don't get that, you still don't know Jesus that well. Again, as much as it is Jesus' custom to be here every week, Jesus in his own time went to church every week. Here we are given an example of but one of the many times Jesus would have shown up at a synagogue on a Sabbath. But there is, of course, something very significant that happens on this particular Sabbath. Jesus makes clear that he is the Messiah. His hour for this revelation has come. He makes a pronouncement that the scriptures are being fulfilled even as he opens his mouth. Not because it is a coincidence that as he speaks the fulfillment is also occurring, but because of the very speech that comes from his mouth, every syllable is to be considered the fulfillment of Scripture. Notably, Jesus does not seek to worship God in his own way, choosing to be somewhere else, but as God desires, in God's house and on the Lord's Day, no less. We might imagine that being the Son of God, Jesus would not benefit from attending such a worship service. Yet this is precisely what he does. He sees hearing the word as precious. Jesus' presence in the synagogues is where he joins the two covenants together. Church today is a continuation of the gathering of the faithful around God's word and the reading of the same. We even continue to read the Old Testament scriptures, but in full revelation with the New Testament. During the service, scripture is read and expounded by the leader of the synagogue or by a guest. And on this day, Jesus is invited to read and preach. So standing before the people, he opens the scroll to Isaiah 61. And already in awe of his fame, there is a deadly silence as he begins to read the great prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Verses 18 to 19. So this is the bombshell. When he finishes, Jesus rolls up the scroll and sits down, because that's what they did when they got ready to preach. And he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Verses 21. Now, you have to understand what this means. This is a famous passage that speaks really pretty exclusively about the Messiah. So what is Jesus saying? He knows who the Messiah is. Why doesn't he say anything else? This is too short a sermon. He must be speaking about himself. The audacity! At first, the people speak well of Jesus. In fact, as we're told, all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. Verse 22. But as they begin to analyze his words and what they must mean, their human reason can only think critically of what Jesus has actually said, and they're offended, for they do not see him as anything more than a mere man. And how can a mere man claim to be the Messiah, then? Surely he should have greater stature from the outset than from the carpenter's family they all know so well from down the road. So the mood changes quickly. Jesus senses this and even anticipates their wrath. Hear the voices in the congregation. How can this carpenter's son claim to be the Christ, the Savior of God? This impostor came from down the street, not from heaven. How dare he claim to be the Son of God? The people are incredulous and indignant and eventually come to the conclusion that Jesus has blasphemed the holy name of God. What they clearly fail to consider in the end is that Jesus is, in fact, the Son of God, the fulfillment of all of God's promises, just as he said. This will be the same conclusion that Caiaphas and the other religious leaders will use to justify Jesus' crucifixion. It's just too much to believe that this ordinary hometown Jewish man, raised in such a humble home, is God's own son. And the more time they have to dwell on it, and rack their own twisted minds around it and philosophies, the more impertinent they become. They become so blinded by their own philologies and assumptions that they are even resentful when Jesus performs signs, and in our context in a nearby town, Capernaum, as a clear statement of him moving on from a people that will not believe in him. And so Jesus prophesies the fulfillment of another verse, not in pride but with a sorrowful heart, that it must be. No prophet is acceptable in his hometown, verse 23. And again, in a spirit of perfect interpretation but also omniscience, Jesus anticipates what the congregation will demand, sign after sign to testify to his divine claim, because of their unbelief. And Jesus states this truth by expressing that many Gentiles of bygone days were more receptive to God's word than they were. In truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath, in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elijah, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Verses 25 to 27. In other words, God would sooner reach out to these Gentiles than to you. Amazing. Jesus is actually giving us an insight into God's reasoning at another bygone era, where some would assume that these points in history are a good place to emphasize God's mercy not only for the Jew but for the Gentile, and rightly so. Jesus gives us a further insight into what was going through the mind of God. He was unhappy with his people at those times, and would prefer to exercise his mercy to a Gentile than to the Jews for their lack of belief. Whether or not Jesus was revealing more to them than they could work out themselves from that time, they certainly got the picture and application for them today. Jesus was saying that just being one of the Israelites didn't get them a thing, and so they become outraged. They reject this famous son and even seek to murder him. They drag him toward the hill on which the town is built, planning to throw him off. But somehow, Jesus eludes the crowd, and they don't get to fulfill the evil in their hearts. The evil which is such a typical response to what we think is an inconvenient truth in this world. And Jesus knows it. It's why he came. It isn't God's evil plan that he will bring to completion. The evil is simply here, and God knows it will not change its pattern. Not even for Jesus. It will bring him to his death eventually. But Jesus will at least have control over when it happens, and it was set in motion, even from his birth, not because it's good, but because the conquering of death will be accomplished by his resurrection. Their leaders would crucify Jesus, despite even their own custom of providing liberty to a captive at Passover. But this Passover, not only will another captive go free while Jesus goes to the executioner, this Barabbas, all who are captive by sin will go free. In the end, evil will fail altogether, for nothing would be able to stop Jesus from rising from the dead and being received again into his heavenly kingdom. This didn't make fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy any less hard. The Christ of God is to take on the sin of the whole world. It's simply horribly ironic that the very people who could see Jesus in person, those who knew him best and lived near him, refused to see him as their savior. How blind they were. And sadly, as far as we know, Jesus left Nazareth that day never to return. For that's what you do when people reject who you are and show no sign of repentance. There is a lot to ponder here. We come back to our opening questions. What if Jesus came to our town this morning? What if he came to our church? What if he stood here in this pulpit and preached a sermon? Wouldn't that be marvelous? A wonderful opportunity to hear a message straight from God in heaven? Brothers and sisters in Christ, listen carefully. It is his custom to be here each week and is present with us in this house of God. Today, Jesus is present with us in his word and in his sacraments. Today, in God's house, Jesus proclaims good news to all who are poor in spirit. Here, each week, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to release us from the oppression of our guilt and sin. Here, each week, Jesus offers recovering of sight for spiritual blindness, so all might see him clearly as their Savior, whose forgiveness sets them free from sin and death. See today, Scripture continuing to be fulfilled even in your hearing, because this is the Lord's house, and he is present himself in his word and sacrament to strengthen us for the week to come, every week, as we give God the time of day to rightly consider Jesus as the fulfillment of Scripture, in honor of his name and for his sake. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann, and I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, where every Sunday we have a Lutheran study at 9:45 a.m. before the main divine service at 11. We would love to meet you. You can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Come and see how Scripture can be fulfilled even in your hearing. How true faith essentially manifests itself by bearing fruit in coming to church. And if you can't come to us, find the nearest Lutheran church near you. Come and take a break from the world around you, have your Sabbath rest, and attend church. As for next week in Faith That Functions, we will be looking at Jeremiah 1, which reveals to us that God still has a plan for us. So for now, I pray God's peace be with you, now and always.